Welcome to the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Show, live from Ferd Sports Bar and Grill, providing a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros in Champa Bay. Now, here's your host, Mike Rickard.
This is Mike Rickard of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, across from Ben Botham. And we got a lot of baseball to talk today. We're going to talk College World Series. We'll talk about the Rays sweep of the St. Louis Cardinals. The sweet sweep, as I like to say. That was a blast being down here. Didn't do the same thing last night. We'll talk about that. Ben will break down the scores from last night, as well as the standings in our Fergs from the front row. Of course, you can hear us on the Tan Talk family of stations, streaming live on RadioSt.Pete.com, and live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill, right here in the heart of Champa Bay, where the fans have been celebrating for 29 years, here on 13th and Central, across from Tropicana Field. I'll throw this out right now. Tonight, over at Amalie Arena, the place will be rocking, and so will Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. And I know you're not a diehard hockey fan, but you grew up in the area, Ben, and this is cool, isn't it?
Oh, there's nothing better than seeing teams win and teams compete like this, and having a team as dominant as the Lightning. You know, hopefully three Stanley Cup appearances.
Don't hex them, brother.
I know, but.
Yeah, so a lot of vibrant energy down here. This place will be rocking. My man Mac, the DJ down here, each and every score, you feel like you're an Amalie. It's a lot of fun, and I can assure you there's no tickets available. And it looks like it potentially could rain tonight. It's for the festivities outside of Amalie. So come on down to Ferg Sports Bar and Grill if you're on this side of the bridge. Ferg's, of course, was selected Best in the Bay Sports Bar and Wings. And each and every Saturday, we like to bring you a fresh and a positive perspective from the peewees to the preps to the pros. We're actually nestled in the headquarters. We'll call this the headquarters.
There we go.
Of the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection today. The weather was going to be a little dicey. It still looks like it may be. And I didn't bring any teams down, which I thoroughly enjoy. And I thoroughly enjoyed last week with the Jesuit Tigers, fresh off their state championship baseball team. Some nice kids, weren't they?
Oh yeah, those kids were great. I was talking to them after the radio as well, and they're good kids.
You know, talking to Jack Martinez, that was kind of funny how that set up, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Asking him about, you know, his game. He's a second baseman. You know, we assume he's a slap hitter.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what's your favorite team? Well, the Yankees.
Yeah, giving him a hard time for it.
Well, why are you a Yankees fan? Well, my uncle's Tito Martinez.
I don't know why that didn't click with me sooner. You know, I'm plugging together the last name, and it's like, what? Wait a second.
Not too shabby having Tito to give you a – and what did he tell him to do? Go to the cages and
hit off the tee.
Hit off the tee?
T-T-T. I mean, that's the way to do it. A lot of kids are afraid of the tee now. They just want to go out there and hit for the fences, you know.
Well, later in the show, we're going to talk to your old coach, Coach Hardy. Mm-hmm. Would he give you the same recommendation?
Oh, yeah. He's a big tee guy, and you know, he's an all-around great coach, great guy to run the kind of program, and he really works well with hitters.
You got the gear on today, Savannah State University?
Yeah, he'll be happy. First time I'm not wearing a Hawaiian shirt to the radio, actually kind of repping my alma mater, and you know, really happy to be, you know.
I love Hawaiian shirts. Should I get some Hawaiian shirt Tampa St. Pete Sports?
Of course. Are you kidding me? I'd rock those.
I did that with On the Tee up north. So we'll rock those, buddy.
Okay.
We'll get those so you can have your theme. All right. Today we're going to talk FSU women's softball standout and national champion back in the day, Maddie O'Brien. Well, back in the day, just in 2015. She talk about an incredible resume. We'll talk to Maddie, and then we're switching everything up today. We're going to talk Mark Donahue. We'll recap the event that I was at, and I stiffed you on. Hand me that little pamphlet. This was kind of cool. The sports, not kind of cool. It was very cool. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry again.
Oh, you're
good. I had planned on taking you. I went by myself, and my table, they said there wasn't any seats left. My table had two spots at it.
Oh, really?
I ate two desserts.
Oh, well, that's not too bad.
I told the people at the table, you don't mind, man. I'm an old man. I got to have the desserts. But the Sports Club of Iowa, of Tampa Bay, it was their 61st year. And we're going to talk to the man behind the plan. That's Mark Donahue, and recap that night, Wednesday night. It was a blast over in Tampa. Bob Bauer will break down the 154th Belmont Stakes today, a 6:45 post. And that's the final jewel of the Triple Crown. And then Chris Griffin, Chris has been on before. Chris, a former Hillsboro High School standout in track and football, and same thing at FSU, a good friend of Barry Smith's. I was fortunate to meet him. He's an accomplished attorney and litigator with the NCAA, and we're going to talk NIL, which is a hot topic now.
And I figured we'd even ask my old coach about that a little bit, because, I mean, he's having to deal with that, and coming from an HBCU might be a little different kind of take and see how that's playing out.
Exactly. And we want to get his College World Series and those experiences as we're right in the middle of it. I love it being from 90 miles away in Omaha. That's got to be on your bucket list. You got to get to Omaha, buddy.
It's a place you have to visit.
Have you been?
I've never been, but
that's what I'm saying. For you, it's a bucket list.
Yeah.
And it's unbelievable. There's no Florida teams in the dance. I don't know if they call it the dance or in the park or whatever they call it. But there's no Florida teams.
Mm-hmm.
Miami, Florida State, and Florida are all qualified. Gonzo. Yep.
I know. It's
one thing they did succeed in, for all of you Florida-based fans, the Gators won the men's NCAA track and field championships last night up in Oregon as well. Okay, let's see who else. And then we're going to talk to Coach Hardy. So we got a jam-packed show. Let's recognize our on-the-tee Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection network affiliates. And, of course, our flagship is WTAN 106.1 FM and AM 1340 up in Clearwater, St. Pete. WZHR AM 1400, 104.3 FM. WDCF AM 1350 and 102.3 FM. And as I like to say, from Brooksville to the Sunshine Bridge, all of Pinellas counties, Tampa to Lakeland, north to Zephyr Hills. And we're also streaming on Hoovy.tv, where we archive, and RadioSaintPete.com, and Joe Boudreau and I and the guys there, we got some exciting news in the fall of 2022. So let's go over the baseball standings right now as we're only 3 weeks away from the All-Star break.
I know. Isn't that great? You know, I'm excited.
Time's flying. What do you mean you're excited, man?
You're young. All-Star games.
You're young. I don't want to see time fly. I wouldn't mind a couple of years of just, the pause button.
Yeah, I understand that. And even, well, let me tell you this. On Monday, across the street here from Ferg's at the Trop, it'll be the All-Star game for Pinellas County. And so a lot of the high schoolers are going to be over there.
You want to go to that?
I will be over there, yep.
So I'll go with you.
If you want to go, let's go.
Yeah, because I've had some of these kids on.
Yeah, yeah, and one of my good friends, the voice of Seminole, will be.
That's
out
why
there
you're
as well.
Here, man. You're my baseball man.
There we go. So
that'll be perfect.
You know, is that one's approaching? 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock on Monday.
Let's meet here. I'll grab us lunch and then we'll stroll over.
I like the sound of that.
Perfect.
Not too
good
shabby.
Good job, my man.
Yeah, but leading into the standings, Yankees are still at the top of it here in the AL East. With a 41 wins and 16 losses, a 719 percentage.
Look where Tampa Bay's at, as far as the both the National League and the American League. They're having a great season. They're in the toughest division in baseball.
I know it's. You almost kind of wish,
maybe. You're in the Central.
Yeah.
Then we get slaughtered by the Twins last night, 9-3. I like to see the Twinkies successful, though.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but, I can't help but hope the Rays kind of do something here. I mean, we're 7 games back from the Yankees, which is kind of disappointing because at the beginning of the season, I really wasn't expecting the Yankees to have
the
pitching.
Man, it's a David Goliath even more this year.
Mm-hmm.
So don't get your expectations too high.
I know. But you have to look at the past four years or so. I mean, the Rays have been an outstanding
team. We're spoiled.
We are spoiled.
You're spoiled.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's tough. You want to criticize the Rays and say, we want to do this, we want to do that. And it gets nitpicky because, I mean, look at our standing. I mean, we're 34 wins, 23 losses, and, we're 596 in percentage there. How are we 7 games back? It doesn't make any sense. So.
It's called the New York Yankees, and it's called $250 million, my friend.
I know. And
it's that friggin' simple, unfortunately.
Yeah, but and then we have Toronto behind us, 33 wins, 23 losses, 7.5 games back. Boston, 30 wins, 28 losses. And all the way down at the bottom, Baltimore, 24 wins, 34 losses.
Just give us the leaders in the other division.
All right, so then we have Minnesota in the Central, 33 wins, 26 losses. In the West, Houston, 36 wins, 21 losses.
The cheaters.
Oh, yeah. Still not a fan of them. I got a lot of friends that
never will be.
Yeah, I know. You can't come back from that. That's terrible. The White Sox always be known as the Black Sox scandal. With that and, the
in many a sport, though, they say if you're not cheating, you're not trying. You know, but the purity of baseball, it's absolutely BS, but infiltrates everything.
And then in the National League, we have the East with the Mets 38-21, Milwaukee leading the Central 33-26, the West, LA 37-20 losses.
So. All right, thank you, Ben Botham. That's our Fergs from the front row. And of course, tonight is the Lightning and the Rangers. You going to be watching?
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, I don't know if you saw that cheap shot by that New York fan hitting the Lightning fan and leaving the game. You didn't see that at the...
At MSG?
Yep.
I get the New York Post every day. Nothing surprises me about that animalistic environment up there in New York City. And I'm a Yankees fan first because of my youth. But are you kidding me?
That it was
cheap
ridiculous.
Shot at the Lightning
fan? Just hit him, drop down cold. Like out in the middle of the walkway. Guy kept on walking.
Should be banned from ever going to a Rangers game. Mm-hmm. Spend time in jail, but it won't in New York City. No. They'll let him out.
Oh, no. But one of the nice
without
things...
bond.
Yeah, one
just
of the nice BS. Things that happened, though, I will say this about the whole situation, is that Tampa Bay's CEO, the Lightning CEO, reached out to the guy that got hit and, you know, wanted to make sure he was all right, see if there was anything the Lightning could do to assist him. Just a class act from the Lightning to reach out to, you know, a player who, you know, got absolutely assaulted by a scumbag of a fan of the Rangers.
Well, I don't know what it is about people in the Northeast, you know, and you're proud of it. You're a-hole as far as I'm concerned. The Boston fans.
Yeah.
Now you're watching Golden State and the Celtics, and, you know, Green is he's a powder keg without a shadow of a doubt. But you keep in mind you got young people, they don't care, in the stands, and they're F. Damon Green. Did you hear about that?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
I mean, loud and proud.
Mm-hmm.
And they are proud of it.
Sure,
and they'll look in your face. Well, you know, you're a freaking idiot. You know what?
Yeah.
This infuriates me. But I didn't see that cheap shot.
No, it was terrible. But it was great to see what the CEO of the Lightning sent out
there. Well, it's a class organization top to bottom.
And it looks like they're going to send him some merchandise from, you know, from the team and do some nice things for him. So that's really
bags.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, attorney fees to go out and civilly sue that clown for a lot of jack. Last night, if you are an NBA fan, and we don't have the Big O, our NBA insider, well, he wouldn't want to talk about this anyway, being a Celtics fan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got a friend in town, so I'll just say she's of the female persuasion.
Ah, understood.
So even if he does make an appearance up here today, I won't hammer him about it. But unbelievable at 34 years old, Seth Curry. Did you see that? Stephon Curry. Seth's brother. Stephon Curry.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that? Any of that?
I watched a little bit of it towards the end. I was mainly watching the baseball game, of course.
Well, you're a baseball guy.
Yeah, but he's
you know what?
Unbelievable.
I'm a track guy. I ran track in college. Guess what I was watching? NCAA Division I championships from Eugene, Oregon. Reliving the glory days where I would have got toasted by these guys. But, you know, I competed against, you know, all the bigs. A lot of fun. And Eugene is... You know, it's the mecca for golf, for track and field, and collegiately and professionally. And so, like you, your passion is baseball, mine's track and field. I'm going back and forth. Well, then I thought, hey, goofball, you can see both your screens in your little closet beach shack. And so I had them both going on.
Yeah, I tuned in every once in a while. You know, I guess my dad's maybe a Celtics fan, but, you know, I think
a lot of old school.
Yeah, just because Larry Bird, I think, is probably, you know, but.
Well, actually, at this event, I sat next to a teammate of Larry Bird's.
Really?
And we'll give Maddie a call in a minute. This humongous man sits next to me and very, very kind. Leroy Staley. He's from the area.
Mm-hmm.
And he played for the Indiana State, the Sycamores.
Mm-hmm.
And my high school coach was the athletic director during that period. So we shared that story.
Cool.
And now a good, very good friend of mine is the head basketball coach in the Indiana State. So,
wow.
It's a very small world. And like I said, that was an excellent event. What did I miss today? So we talked to MLB. 93 last night. Did you watch any of the game?
Of the...
Well, it was on Apple TV, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I don't have Apple TV, so I missed out on that.
Yeah, because I was listening to the guys on the radio when I was driving. and they said that the TV guys had the night off. What do you think of that? You're a youngster. What do you think of that Apple TV?
I don't know. I mean, I still think it's not one of the more popular streaming services, so I don't know why MLB paired up with them to be one of their partners to broadcast games. But more eyes on baseball, the better, I think. You know, I just wish there weren't so many blackouts on MLB TV. You know, I get it for free or whatever because, you know, my phone plan includes it. But come on, you guys can't have as many blackouts. Or if I'm out of town, I should still be able to watch the Rays. Not, you know, I'm out of town. I can't watch the local station.
Well, I assure you, you would have watched this young lady, and of course the College World Series and her storied career at Florida State. Incredible success, and she's kind enough to join us now, Maddie O'Brien. How are you, young lady?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Superb. I appreciate you taking time on this Saturday. Our mutual friend, the biggest Florida State fan on the planet, Barry Stevens. I call him my executive director, and he was kind enough to hook this up. And I appreciate you taking time to come on and share some stories with us, especially after what a College World Series in 2022, huh?
Yeah, that was very unexpected. You know, you don't expect to have blowouts in the World Series, but Oklahoma is just obviously a dominant team.
Well, let's talk about your career. Of course, you went to Palm Harbor. You were all everything in high school. And you know, I won't go down the litany, but I can assure you, folks, from All-American to Gatorade. Was there an award, Maddie, that you didn't just whisk away with?
You know, I don't know, but I'm sure there was.
So you go to Florida State. You probably had, you know, multiple options. Were you a Florida State fan? Was there someone in your family that had gone there that had was what their storied program?
Yeah, no, I always wanted to go to Florida State. My parents did not go there, but growing up, we were Florida State fans. Our household was definitely FSU all the way. So growing up, you know, I had an FSU cheerleader outfit, and it was kind of in my blood. And when I took my visit for softball there, I just fell in love with the campus and the coaching staff and everything that Florida State had to offer. So it was a done deal after my first visit there.
Well, let's talk about your high school career. I always like to go back and ask about you know, your favorite memory in high school prior to moving on and playing with the Lady Seminoles.
One memory, I don't know. I think just growing as a player, there's no one memory that sticks out in my mind. But Palm Harbor had a lot of historic players that went on to play in college as well before me. So I think just seeing those players go on and coming out of such a great program and growing as a player to get to college and have the experience that I did and the knowledge of the game that I did, I'm very thankful for that.
Well, you know, so you leave there, and this happens to everybody from the high school to the collegiate convergence. You know, you're all everything in high school. Then you arrive, of course, on campus, and it's kind of eye-opening, isn't it, that there's so much talent on these teams, and here you went from being, you know, arguably the best player on your team and most of the games you played. Talk about that can be humbling for a young student athlete.
Oh, it definitely was humbling. And, you know, I redshirted my first year due to an ankle injury. So it was kind of a blessing in disguise because, like you mentioned, it's humbling when you get there and everyone is equal talent or even, you know, better talent because they have the experience already as a junior or senior in college. A blessing in disguise that I had an ankle injury my freshman year and I got that extra, you know, year to kind of mature and see the game in a different way from the dugout. So, you know, it's like I said, it's kind of a blessing in disguise. I didn't like it at the time that I was hurt, but in the end, I'm thankful for that extra year.
Well, and the reality, Maddie O'Brien, is this: you've been playing, and you're the focal point since you're a young lady and into high school. And then you got to, basically, because of your injury, you're riding pine, you know, for lack of a better word. And that's tough for a competitive athlete.
Oh, definitely. I did not like it. My coaches had many talks with me, you know, trying to make the best of the situation. But I was coming in as a freshman expecting to work my way into that starting lineup. And I had a lingering injury. I didn't hurt myself in college. I had a lingering injury from my senior year of high school. And so that was even the harder part, is getting through something that was already existing and working out with the team. You know, I still did all the workouts and ramps and stadiums and on a bum ankle and tried to work my way in there. But at the end of the day, I had to have surgery. So it definitely was a tough reality that freshman year.
Well, when you had that period, I'm sure that your mother, shout out to Mike and Candy, you know, for their superb job of raising you. And did you get your favorite meal, pork roast and ziti, every time you went home because you need some of that TLC?
Yeah, you know, that's our Christmas meal, but we do.
Oh, that's that's your go-to Christmas meal?
Yes, and it is my favorite.
And I did a little research. And your favorite is yogurt. What flavor?
You know, I'm a plain yogurt person. I like to add granola and berries to it. It's very boring, but it is good.
Well, believe it or not, we have one thing in common, and that's it, and nothing else would even come close. So let's talk about, so you overcome the injuries, you're motivated, you probably worked your tail off to make certain you're rehabbed, and let's talk about the next year and your success and the rest of your career and some of your fondest memories.
Yeah, so as mentioned, I had that first surgery my freshman year, and unfortunately, that was not the last surgery. I've had multiple ankle surgeries almost every season. I would have an ankle surgery in the summer. But I did come back and work my butt off. My athletic trainer, Eunice Hernandez, which she's still at FSU as the softball trainer, she was amazing. She helped me so much throughout my career with rehab and making sure that I was coming back every season stronger than the first one. My sophomore year, I did struggle. That was technically my first year playing, but I did struggle for sure, just getting adjusted back to playing after sitting out a year. And then, you know, my junior season, my redshirt junior season, was just one for the books. I worked really, really hard in the batting cages. There wasn't a moment that I think that I wasn't in there. It would be 9 o'clock at night and I was in the batting cages. So I think there's definitely some truth behind, you know, working your tail off, and what you do when no one's watching is what defines you. That's what I kind of went by. And I was prepared. I was prepared for every moment of that season, and there wasn't going to be anything to stop me. And I think I had the confidence going into the batter's box of, you know, I prepared for this moment. Don't be nervous. You prepared, so you're ready. And that definitely carried me through that season and my senior season. And you know, like I mentioned, I had multiple ankle surgeries, and it's unfortunate that I had to have those, but at the same time, I just modified my swing and everything really to kind of fit into that. So I, you know, my dad would on the off seasons pitch to me. I'd sit on a bucket with a bum ankle and hit, and I found a way to get the work in. And it was just, I had the best experience overall, and I can't even ask for more in my college career.
So did you play multiple positions while at FSU? I saw that you were quite the hitter. It showed a lot of your hitting achievements on the team, but what position were you mainly at FSU?
I played shortstop, and I'm very thankful that my ankle did not deter me from, you know, just being a designated player or you know, playing anywhere else, because as much as I love hitting, I was so passionate about defense. I loved defense. I would make Jeter plays anytime I could. and that's something I was really passionate about, is, you know, taking extra infield reps and making sure that my range wasn't affected with my ankle. And I know it was to a certain degree, but I worked really hard to make sure that I could, you know, take a certain route so that I'd cut off steps and make it easier. And I worked a lot on my transfer, so maybe I didn't get there as quick as I could, but my transfer was definitely fast, so I could, you know, make up for my steps with that.
Well, you said you like making Jeter plays, but your favorite player, though, was Mickey Mantle?
Yeah, and, you know, again, going back to my dad, and shout out to them, they're listening today. my dad, Mike, you know, growing up, always referenced hitters, loved the game of baseball, and number 7 just kind of stuck with me. And I'm sure you all have seen the movie 61, but kind of learning a little bit through a movie, learning a little bit about Mickey Mantle and reading some books. And obviously his lifestyle probably isn't one to, you know, kind of go off of, but the player that he was and stuff like that, it just kind of stuck with me. So definitely one of my favorite players that I didn't get to see in person, obviously, but learned a lot about and just kind of stuck with me.
Well, a couple of things, Maddie. We're talking to Maddie O'Brien here on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection, on the Tampa St. Pete Sports Connection Radio Network, live from Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. I'll make you feel good about Mickey Mantle. You talked about his lifestyle. I'm an old man, and I was a Yankee fan, and I've been blessed down here. I'm going to get you a copy of the book, number 7, Mickey Mantle, a gentleman that I've had on several times, comes down here to Ferg's. He wrote the book, Peter Gallenbach. He's an accomplished writer. And then I have another friend that played in the for the Tampa Bay Bucks, Randy Grimes, and he got he had an addiction issue with pills through all the pain he went through. He's the starting center for the Bucks for 9 years, and the story of all these people that he works with on a continuum basis across the country. He and two friends were outside the rehab center when Mickey Mantle came out, and Mickey Mantle told these guys, in fact, Pat Summerall, your dad Mike would know that name, he was a CBS broadcaster, but he had issues too. But Mickey said, as he was passing, what his greatest accomplishment was, and he walked out of that rehab center and turned his life around, and he wished he had before. So the Mick went out, positive, addressed that, and had an incredible career. So you have a great role model, and you're number 7. So I'll get that book to you, young lady. I assure you, and Peter will sign it for you.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that.
Oh, absolutely. So let's talk about College World Series experience, because, of course, was it in Oklahoma City back then?
Yes. Yeah, we went there one time when I was there. So in my 5 years, we made it to the World Series that 2014 year.
Was it just an absolute blast?
It was. It was. I mean, talk about the biggest stage. And, you know, I talked about, you realize you're prepared and you don't have nerves. But when you walk into that stadium, you could be as prepared as you ever have been. You have to have some nerves just being on that stage. And it gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. It's everything that you ever dreamed of, you know, as a little girl, making it to the World Series. And obviously we didn't have the outcome that we wanted to, but it was huge for our team to get back to the World Series. You know, it had been several years, so it was just an amazing experience.
Who won the national championship that year?
I don't recall.
Well, my man Ben Botham here. I'm sorry, I didn't introduce you either. He's the wizard of baseball in the house, and this youngster, he's going to Google it for us. It's sad we have to use. It's sad you have to use Google at your young age, young lady.
I know. I can't believe I've been out of college 7 years already.
Gosh, you're just a dinosaur. You got some great memories, that's for sure. What are you doing right now?
I was in medical sales for a little while after college. And then once COVID happened, you know, elective surgeries kind of ended and our contract was ended. So I was very, very fortunate enough to get into the insurance industry, which is not the greatest right now. I'm sure, you know, y'all hear about things with insurance and stuff going on. But I work with my mom. She's been at her agency for over 27 years.
Oh, fabulous. And,
her boss said, "What's Maddie doing right now?" And I'm very fortunate that it worked out the way it did. So I'm an account manager working in commercial insurance, and I just had a baby last September. My husband and I, our first baby. So
boy or girl?
Got a girl. Her name's Gemma.
Gemma, I like that name.
Yes. So
that trumps anything that you accomplished in the world of sports or in life. An incredible congratulations to you. How old is Gemma?
Thank you. She's 8 months old and on her way to 9 months. It's going by so fast already.
Well, your parents, Mike and Candy, will tell you it will fly by, and I'm sure they're very they're very happy with you right now because they got themselves a granddaughter to play with. And Barry Smith, same way. He's over the top. Well, I'm just as bad. Over the top about his granddaughter. And I got a 2- and a 4-year-old granddaughter and a grandson. And I was one of those guys. People would show me pictures of their grandchildren. I'd be like, man, you're just a mushy sap, man. You know, next thing you know, I have my grandson, and I'm one of those idiots showing pictures to everybody. Hey, you want to see a picture? Want to see a picture of my grandson Jackson? People are like, "Oh, sure, pal." So I'm sure Mike and Candy are doing that with Gemma's pictures these days.
Oh yeah, and you know my brother and his wife had a baby shortly after us, so they have 2 granddaughters now, and the girls are growing up together. So it's awesome.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, but your pops he's going to need a little buddy to hang around. I got that, and so is your husband.
Yeah.
Guys better work on getting a little buddy there, so you got one of each.
Yeah, we'll work on it.
All right, so Ben, who won the national championship that year?
In 2014, it was University of Florida.
Oh, being a Florida State Seminole, you didn't want to hear that answer, did you?
That's why I forgot who won.
Well, I would tell you, I absolutely love women's college softball. And, you know, and being an old dinosaur, I never really embraced women's sports until I started covering them back in Iowa. And the sport, number one is women's softball and then women's volleyball. But I'll tell you what, you girls get it done.
Yeah, I know. And the game has grown so much. I mean, even since I've played, it's just grown so much. And it's so fun to watch. We were kind of just breaking into the TV world when I was at FSU. We didn't really have many TV games. And Coach Alameda was great. She worked really hard to get, you know, the games on TV and get us coverage that we deserved. And, you know, you see it everywhere now. And it's so great to see that the game has grown so much and reached so many people.
So I used to play baseball at Savannah State University. And y'all beat up on us in our regional, Florida State did. But one of our biggest fans were the softball players coming over to our games. Was that the same at FSU?
Yeah, for sure. We supported each other, baseball and softball. It wasn't, I think, right before I got to FSU, the teams were really close. They lived, like, in the same housing area. And then things kind of changed a little bit with housing when I was there. And we were close with the baseball team, but not as close. And then I will say, after I had left, I know the girls in the past couple years have gotten really close with the baseball team again. So it is cool to have that camaraderie and support each other, for sure.
We're talking to Mandy O'Brien, former FSU standout in baseball from Palm Harbor. And one of the things that I think is kind of unique about women's softball, you said you were your aspirations were to be a cheerleader younger. Most of the girls, you guys cheer for yourselves, and they're almost orchestrated cheering, kind of like you have cheerleaders. And I was pointing that out to my girlfriend the other night, and she goes, "You're right." Oklahoma was playing Texas, and I said, "Yeah, they orchestrate them. They cheer, they clap all in sync. It's kind of cool."
Yeah, it is fun. And, you know, I'm laughing because my younger self would, you know, just be cracking up at the way that I grew up, because I was such a against cheer kind of person. So I was not into the cheerleading in the dugout. So when I was younger, I loved cheerleading and doing all that dance and gymnastics, and it wasn't only softball. But getting older into, like, my travel ball years, as you know, in high school and then in college, I was not the one in the dugout doing cheers, I'll tell you that. I was more serious and into the game and hanging on, you know, to the fence and right in there. I was not into the cheering. And I even tell my husband now when we're watching the games, I'm like, this is just silly. Like, they're screaming.
Oh, my God. I was looking, the first time I noticed that was several years ago, and I was looking for cheerleaders because you could hear them in the background while, you know, ESPN's producing it. And I'm like, where the hell are the cheerleaders at? And then they pan into the dugout, and it's the girls that are playing.
Yep. And I know my coach, Coach Almeida, she would always get on me a little bit because I was very serious and I'm a perfectionist. And, you know, I did have fun. I totally had fun with the game. I loved it. But I don't laugh when I make an error. I don't, you know, things don't roll off like that when I'm playing. But nowadays, they're encouraging players, obviously, to smile. And and kind of just wipe things off, laugh about it. You're not going to do it again. You kind of have some fun with it. But I just wasn't that player, and I still am not. You know, I can't laugh at a mistake and move on. But
there's nothing wrong with that. Take it from an old guy. Yeah. That's old school thinking. Hey. I'm going to turn this around. I'm not going to revel in it or just blow it off. I made a mistake. That's the problem. Unfortunately, we won't go there a lot in our society today. We're like, oh, no big deal. It is a big deal because you've committed so much time, effort, and energy, and you want to succeed.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So you had a brother, older or younger?
He's older. He's 2.5 years older.
Was he always supportive of Maddie's career, or was there that rivalry? He had his own thing going on, and you were taking the limelight.
No, he's definitely supportive. When we were growing up, we'd always be super competitive, and we're still competitive with each other, but definitely supportive of each other and our careers. And obviously, he played baseball, and he played at St. Pete College. Hmm, he had a
fabulous.
He had a couple surgeries. He was a pitcher, and he had this surgery for thoracic outlet syndrome, so... Basically, I don't know if you've heard of that, but basically a rib compresses some arteries, and he had no feeling in his arm when he'd go to grip the ball and pitch. So
wow.
After that surgery, I was pretty wild. They had to go out to Texas and have a major surgery, and pretty common, I guess, with volleyball players and swimmers and pitchers. So, but after that surgery, he kind of, you know, just realized that he was done, and he had done all he could in his baseball career. So at that point, you know, he just definitely was 100% supportive and followed me around, and very grateful to have that older brother.
Fabulous. Okay, I know you got a little baby now, and takes a lot of your time. Have you got a chance to watch? Did you get a chance to watch any of the College World Series?
I did. I didn't get to watch the first game, but I obviously saw that it was a blowout, 15-1. And then I did watch the second game after I put little Gemma to sleep. I was able to watch the game.
What's that gal's name from Oklahoma, man, that broke all the records, home runs?
Oh, yeah, Jocelyn Alo.
Oh, my word.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable.
Unbelievable, yeah. It's crazy. And I was saying, why are they still pitching to her? I can't believe they're still challenging her. She was just a great hitter, and definitely a huge asset to that Oklahoma team.
She's almost the kind of athlete, you know, and it's a story thousand years ago, conversation and some of its lore, Babe Ruth calling the shot to hit a home run. I think that young lady could do it. And then she could just tell the pitcher, this is going into left field right now. And sayonara.
Right, exactly.
All right, young lady. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking time out of your very busy life now with the little one. She'll be crawling and walking before you know it. And then hold on. I was with my granddaughter about a month ago, and I'm pretty fit for an old man. I was exhausted after 5 days because I wanted to be the one that watched her all the time, and she just turned two. She's off to the races.
I know. Gemma, she's crawling already, and she's definitely going to be walking soon because she's starting to stand up on her own. So we got to watch out.
All right. Well, I would I invite you anytime to come down and have a bite to eat down at Ferg Sports Bar and Grill. Bring Candy and Mike. We'll get a hold of Barry and bring the little ones. And I'll buy you guys a bite and converse and have some fun. Where do you live now?
We're in Tampa, so we're close. We're just outside of West Chase, so.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, just drive across the bridge, and we'll let Barry tell us some stories from back in the day.
Yeah, I would love that. Absolutely. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Have a great weekend, and congratulations on the new edition.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for having me, and thanks, Ben.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Well, that was refreshing.
Oh, yeah. That was a great conversation. You know, softball doesn't get a lot of attention. I mean, none of the college baseball, softball really get enough attention. So I mean,
hey, man, we got the game on right here.
No, it does. But I mean, when you turn on the
in the big picture, it certainly doesn't.
There's no Elite Eight, no national championship like college football and basketball. It's kind of a shame that they don't get what they deserve there.
Well, and they had their what do you call it? when they have the bracket announcements. They had a show on, and it was at 4:30 in the afternoon. On ESPN. I just happened to catch it, channel surfing. I thought you could have promoted a little bit more.
Yeah, you're lucky when you catch baseball on ESPN. They devote what, 10 minutes to it every day, in between talking basketball, what color shoes the guy wore, and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. All right, I told you, and I still apologize to you that I didn't get you over to the Sports Club of Tampa Bay on Wednesday. It was, very impressive. I've been blessed to go to quite a few things, but in the Midwest. But they do things up right here, and I'll tell you what, the biggest reason for this event is Mark Donahue. He's been on before. He's a Jesuit grad. He's my Barry Smith, too. He's helped me with Jesuit, and we've had three teams down there. And I want to thank you for that, Mark. And
you're welcome, sir.
Did you sleep for 15 hours after Wednesday's activities?
Well, you know, it was an improvement from last year when we had an incredible rainstorm and my car went submarine. So the fact that I could drive home happy, we had a terrific showing, I think the best class of inductees ever, and my car didn't get injured. It was a great night. Fantastic.
I tell you what, I was so impressed. And explain the selection process. Because you have, you know, a wide range of people that were enshrined this year, and it was impressive. And not being from here, I've been here 6 years. I never got to see Gail Sarens and her broadcasting.
Okay,
I didn't know who Darren was. Of course, I knew who Monty Kiffin is, Brad Johnson, and I've been following Jose Fernandez because I'm very impressed in what he's doing at USF. How does that? Yeah. Who makes those decisions? Well, you and the board, you get together?
Well, we have a committee, and then we run it by the board. But the committee has tried in a normal year to get two pro nominees or inductees and two local. This next year, we're going to have a media category as well as two pro and two local. Now, the local could be a college coach, like Coach Fernandez, could be a local coach. But, you know, there's so many local coaches that deserve it. The problem we have is we probably need to induct 12 people every year just to get caught up. And, of course, that's not going to happen. So we try to always make sure that our inductees can come. That's why over the years we've had individual luncheons. Let me just throw some out. Let's say if, for example, we elect James Shields this next year to be, former Ray, great pitcher. Well, maybe James can't come in June when we have the banquet. But just like we did with Joe Maddon, John Lynch, and also Paul Gruber, we had a separate daytime luncheon for them when they could come to town. Obviously scaled down from the big event of 350 people we were at last Wednesday. But we elect who we can, and then we wait to get them here in person, and then we move on. You know, once in a while, you know, people will say, gee, thank you so much, you know, for the invite, but not interested, or I've got bigger fish to fry, and that's okay. But we've done a lot of catch-up in the last few years. I mean, a lot of catch-up. When I look back, just for years, we kind of got behind. But in recent years, you know, kind of going back, I would say, to 17, you know, since 17, we brought in, in 16, we brought in Warwick Dunn, Rondé Barber, Frank Permuy. In 17, Lalo Prado, great college coach. Bob Cuesta, great local coach. Brian Bradley, you know, from the Lightning, the first star of the Lightning. Jack Harris, sportscaster. And then the next year, Vinny LeCavier, Dwayne Stats with the Rays, Joe Urso, incredible baseball coach. Russ Cozart is like the greatest wrestling coach in America. We got him in finally in 2018. Then in 2019, Marty St. Louis, John Lynch, Ricky Gallen, who had been overlooked for so many years, along with Gene Dekaroff. And Gene, of course, came this past Wednesday. Baseball great coach John Crumley in 19, and then last year was Coach Erickson from USF, Paul Gruber, Brad Richards, Bob Weiner, who brought the house down, and Joe Madden. So it's, we're really behind, but we're doing our best to catch up. We really are. And maybe we'll never catch up, if you know what I'm saying. Well, but we're going to try.
That gives you just a snapshot of the incredible talent that comes out of, you know, as it's been labeled now, Tampa Bay, and we've all jumped on that bandwagon. But I remember when you got Joe Madden, you had that luncheon because the Angels were in town, and you're able to coordinate it with that that travel right. from the West Coast. Wasn't that right?
Yes. And when John Lynch was here, godly, three Thanksgivings ago, for the 49ers to play the Bucks, he came in Friday night after Thanksgiving. We had the luncheon on Saturday, and of course they played the game on Sunday. So John was gracious enough to coordinate that. So we've tried to build our relationships with our fantastic franchises. You know, the Rays were there, they had a table. The Yankees made a last-minute contribution, could not be there. They are on board with us. Obviously, Lightning was a big sponsor. The Bucks are a big sponsor. So we're very fortunate to have rebuilt some great relationships with our franchises. And we say thank you. You know, that's a lot of our life. Thank people when they help you. And there's a lot of folks out there who love sports and are willing to help out a great organization like ours, which has been around for 61 years.
Well, and I was very, and J.P. Peterson, I've been dying to finally meet him.
Great.
J.P. did a superb job, and he and I are going to grab lunch and talk.
He always
so
does.
Another
JP
thing to thank fantastic. You thank you for. However, I did omit Allison Jolly when he's going
oh
through.
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. Yeah. Allison was like, and this is a good example. Like, Allison, I think, is in the National and the State Hall of Fame. We were behind, but we're finally catching up to get her into our local Hall of Fame.
Well, gold medalist, she better be in there, right?
I know. No, of course you do. But it's like, it's just getting, you know, getting everybody in line and voted in and knowing that you have, you know, a limited program. You can't have half a dozen people that coming in or eight people coming in. We'd be there till midnight. But we're working on it, and we're going to be probably meeting as a committee. I kind of want to think August or September. We're going to put it off a little bit here, just get our feet on the ground.
We'll take a little rest. We're talking to Mark Donohue. Of course, he was the president. Now he's the vice president, but he's the man with the plan for the annual Sports Club of Tampa Bay Hall of Fame ceremony. And I got to share a little story at my table. This gentleman sits down next to me, and he's a towering man. And I'm looking at it, and people are visiting with him, and he's smiling. And I thought, well, I better introduce myself. I didn't know who he was. Oh, I'm Leroy Staley. I played at Indiana State. I said, you're kidding. What years? He said, yeah, during the Larry Bird years. Well, my high school football coach, and I told you I went to a private high school in Iowa, he was the athletic director during that period. So I said, Leroy, did you happen to know Beanie Cooper? He was your AD. He goes, I loved Mr. Cooper, and his son is still my best friend in life. And I thought, what a small world. And he still keeps in contact with the Indiana State Sycamore program. And another one of my good friends is the head basketball coach there, and his wife, the AD. And Leroy knew them real well and communicates with them. So what a small world.
Leroy is an incredible gem of a human being. And Leroy will be on the ballot for the members to vote on. And, you know, one of the coolest things to me about being a member of a sports club is you get to vote on the Hall of Fame choices. So we're going to have a tremendous ballot. It'll, again, be in three sections, pro, quote, local, and media. And we're excited. I mean, I'm putting down some names of other people have told me, and it's, oh my God, the list is long. We'll have to pare it down so there's not 42 in each division, for sure.
Well, I tell you what was impressive, and I'm standing next to him waiting for Barry, Brad Johnson. I didn't realize what a what a hulk of a man he is. That's a big quarterback.
He's a big guy and so nice. What a gentleman.
Just a nice guy in the world. He's talking to me like he knew me. And I didn't, you know, I didn't know him. But then it dawned on me, this is Brad Johnson. It was just a short, brief interaction. But he did a great job up there on the stage.
Oh, he was fantastic. And, you know, during COVID, Brad was kind enough to do a Zoom meeting with us, which was actually very well attended, both online and in person. I mean, this is like in January of 21, whatever. He was fantastic. And so just a matter of time. And Joe Madden did the same thing for us in that COVID time period. And Eric Neander, GM for the Rays, did that. So, you know, we try to be, you know, soft on the feet or whatever, quick on our feet. When things got crazy with COVID, we kept going. We kept having tremendous guests. I mean, Eric, if you're listening, we want to have you back. I mean, there's a lot of people we want to have back. I think we're going to concentrate on our Hall of Famers. We always have Scott Reynolds from the Pewter Report. But we're going to have a great lineup of speakers this year. And I'm sure next year we're going to have a heck of a good lineup of inductees.
Two topics before I let you go. I can't let you go without Monty Kiffin. And I was standing next to Barry. Monty walks in, and he has family helping him. And he reaches right. Barry's left his rear end off. Monty extends his hand to me. Who am I? I never even been to these kind of events. He goes, hey, I'm Monty Kiffin. And I'm like, well, I know who you are, Mr. Kiffin. I said, followed your career, and I know you're from Nebraska. I'm from Iowa. I said, you were born in Lexington, Nebraska. And he says, and Barry looks at me. I said, I always try to do my homework, Barry. But anyway, after Monty left, and he loved that, you know, he went to the University of Nebraska. But then I always switched the topic. I said, how's Lane going to do this year? And he says, he shared that with us. He is he's kind of an executive consultant for the defense for Ole Miss now.
Yes. Right. No,
that keeps him young.
It does. He is such a personable guy. And, you know, telling that John Lynch story, you know, that John Lynch called with his wife to tell his coach that he'd been finally put in the Hall of Fame. I mean, that's a touching story.
That was emotional for Monty.
And I'm sure it was for John at the time.
Oh, of course.
These guys have been blessed to have him as a coach. And, you know, it could not have been a better night. And we're looking forward to next year. There's a rumor that we may be having a golf tournament in November.
I've heard that, and I would like to extend our support from on the tee. We'll give you all kinds of assistance if it goes that direction.
Yeah, we're going to the board is going to meet next week and talk about it. And I think it's a great idea. We're going to try to get some of our Hall of Fame members to come out, you know, to be there, and then business people can bring it out. So ideally, we would have, you know, the banquet in June and maybe a golf tournament in the fall. We'll see. We're also trying to work with the NFL alum,
yep,
perhaps participate in their golf tournament March.
I talked to Walter about it, and I will be at that event.
I had a great talk with Walter, and we'll be meeting. He and I will be meeting in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, we were live at the NFL Super Bowl of Golf event they had. And
he said that was fantastic.
Yep, and we're going to do Barry Smith's organization of Florida Sports Hall of Fame in Orlando on July 8th. We'll be there too, so we'd love to partner with you.
Oh, that'll be fantastic.
Okay,
yeah.
So
Barry's a great.
Near and dear to your heart, last topic.
Yeah.
Your Jesuit Tigers, three state championships in 2021, 2022. We had the baseball team and Coach Menendez on last Saturday. How proud are you as an alum?
It's just unbelievable. I was going to make a joke, like saying they've been watching my old tapes, but